is certainly good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. I hope that you can be back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. When I say the word righteousness, what comes to mind? As you think of what righteousness means or what it means to be righteous, what do you think about? Webster defines the word righteous as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. Not morally right or justifiable, as in a righteous decision, or arising from an outraged sense of justice or morality, as in righteous indignation. Or the third definition under Webster's dictionary is the slang for genuine or excellent. But when we think of the word righteous and righteousness, generally from a spiritual standpoint, we think in terms of living right, doing right, making the right decisions, doing the right things. It's more about action. It's more about acting. From a spiritual sense, that's kind of what we think about when we think about righteousness. While that's true, righteousness is so much more than just what we do. It's so much more than just how we act. And this morning I want to take a look at kind of righteousness as it's played out in Scripture. So as we think of those things, let's examine righteousness as Scripture lays it out. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. That'll be our first scripture this morning, Romans chapter 3. And as we turn to look at what Paul says, and if you really want to study the subject of righteousness, Romans is a great book to use because it is covered probably there as much as anywhere else. But to truly understand righteousness, we must first understand that no one is righteous. No one is righteous. Here in Romans chapter 3, Paul will point out this fact as he is trying to reconcile between Jew and Gentile and how that there's really no distinction. One is not better than the other. Just because you're a Jew, that doesn't give you a leg up here. And Gentiles don't take a back seat, but in the eyes of Christ and in the eyes of God, they can all be the same. And so he illustrates that here in chapter 3 and verse 9, where he says, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all." And he says, "For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin." All are under sin. All have had this problem. Verse 10, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Now he quotes from Psalm, and David says this twice in the Psalms. And he points out that no one is righteous. No one alone is righteous in and of themselves. We are all under sin. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what our background is. We all will struggle with sin, and we all have that problem. And if he goes on to say in this discussion, as you get down to verse 19 of chapter 3, he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." So it doesn't matter if we were to obey the law 100% correctly, we still would not attain righteousness. Because what does the law do? And that's what Paul points out. He points out what the law illustrates. What the law illustrates is knowledge of sin. You go back and you read the old law, and that's what it did. It pointed out, it pointed to, it illustrated what sin was. And so there are no works of the law that can justify a man. that can bring righteousness in and of itself. And he drops down in the verse that we're all familiar with, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So to begin any discussion of righteousness, it must begin at the first place, which is no one's righteous. Now, why is that important? Why is it important to illustrate that? Because you could say, well, why don't you just make us all feel bad about ourselves today? Because no one is righteous. But that's not the point. The point is that there are people who feel like they can't be right with God, they can't do what's right, and they can't be accepted by God. There are those that feel like no matter what they do, it will not be good enough, and they will never be saved, and they're not worthy of God. What's important for those people to understand? That it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder and been one for 70 years, or if you're a brand new Christian, or you haven't become a Christian yet, we are all the same. Everyone, none of us are righteous in and of ourselves. And so to give up on God or to give up on being a Christian because, well, I don't think I can do it, understand everybody is in the same place. Everybody makes mistakes. No one is righteous on their own. That was the problem with the Jews in the time of Jesus. There were those who believed that they were righteous because of what they did. But Jesus illustrated, no, you're not. There are not enough good deeds to make one righteous. None is righteous. And so if none is righteous, what's the point? If we all fall short and can't be righteous, then how can righteousness be obtained? Well, look at chapter 4. Looking at chapter 4, verse 1, we take the example of Abraham. And in verse 1, it says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." Now I want you to think about this for a second. He talks about Abraham, and Abraham is known as the father of faith, but he's also known for his righteousness, for the acts that he did. And it says here in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed in God. He was justified before God, but not by his works. I want you to remember this verse. In a few minutes, we're going to come back and cover this again. But he says Abraham was not justified by his works. For if he had been, he would have something to boast about, but not before God. He was counted as righteous because he believed God. Now, when did he believe God? When does it talk about him believing God and it being counted to him as righteousness? After he offered Isaac? After he moved? After he did all the things that God had asked him? When was this told? Well, if you look at verse 10 of the same chapter, I want you to notice when exactly it was counted as righteousness towards Abraham. Verse 10. "How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." I want to point out the fact that we talk about Abraham and righteousness not because of what he did, but because he simply believed God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. That was counted as righteousness, and it was counted as righteousness before he did all the things that we know him for. Why? Because he believed God. And why is that important to understand? Go to James chapter 2 for a moment. And I want you to remember that Paul clearly says that he was not justified by his works. That it was because he believed God that it was counted to him as righteousness. But I don't want to miss what it says in James chapter 2, because you may be saying, but that's not what James says. James chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Well, which one is it? Was he justified by works? Faith without works is dead. And so the works have to be present. That's what James says. But Paul says, verse 2 of chapter 4, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What's the thing that ties the two together? Quite simply, it's faith and belief. Why did Abraham do what he did? That's the point that James is making about faith. Faith and works are connected because if we have faith and we believe God, then we do the things we should do. Our actions support that we have faith and belief. It's because Abraham believed God that he moved. It was because Abraham believed God that he was willing to offer Isaac on the altar. It was because Abraham believed God that we read about all these other things. Why did he do the things that did not make sense? Because he trusted and believed God. And that was counted to him as righteousness. So no, we can't be righteous on our own. No one is righteous on their own. Abraham, father of faith, great character in the Old Testament, was not righteous on his own. It's because he trusted and had faith in God that we talk about him as being righteous. And that faith was evident in his life because of what he chose to do. He chose to obey. He chose to do what was right because of his belief and his faith in God. So how does that translate to us today? Go back to Romans chapter 3 for a moment, where it talks about no one is righteous. And it talks about how that we can't be righteous on our own. But it does talk about how we can be righteous. Romans chapter 3 in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Why was Abraham justified? Why was things counted to him as righteousness? Because he had faith in God. For us today, even though we realize Romans 3 says no one can be righteous, we can attain righteousness through our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. God put forth Jesus as our substitute, as our atoning sacrifice, so that we could then attain the righteousness of God. If we want to be righteous in the sight of God, and today that should be everyone's goal, is to be right with God and be prepared for when Jesus returns. The only way we can do that is through Christ. And through faith in Him, regardless who we are, regardless what we've done, regardless where we've been, and regardless what we may believe about ourselves, if we give ourselves in faith and believe in God and believe in Jesus, who died for our sins, we can be righteous in His sight. Look at what God has done for us. Paul says it a little more plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where he says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." To truly understand righteousness, we have to understand the price that was paid so that we could be righteous. To be righteous in the sight of God, to become the righteousness of God, Jesus had to become sin on our part, even though He never sinned. He was punished for us. If you ever had a sibling, then you know sometimes we get blamed for things our siblings do. Sometimes we even get punished for things maybe we didn't do, but our brother or sister did. How do we feel like when that happens? Well, we don't like that very much, do we? I didn't do it. It's not my fault. Perhaps we've seen it in school or other areas where people have blamed something on someone else and someone else bared the pain or the punishment of someone. We know how it feels if we're put in that situation. But when we truly understand what Jesus did, He willingly and truthfully stepped in. He said, "Let me bear their punishment. They're guilty. Let me bear their guilt. Let me take on their sin. Let me take the punishment for their sin so that they don't have to. And then they will be right in the sight of God." But when we think about the term righteousness, we generally think about doing what's right. But we go back and think about the discussion of Abraham and works. If Christ justifies us, if Christ frees us, then why are we concern ourselves about living right? Why do we concern ourselves about doing right? None can be righteous, right? So why do we worry about it? And unfortunately, there are those who, when they go to Scripture, they basically take away that thing in belief and say, "Well, I can't do anything right, so what's the point? Christ is going to save me anyway." But when we think about Abraham and we think about his justification and we think about his works, we understand that his faith was tied to his actions. His faith was tied to his life, and his life was lived in appreciation to God. In that same way, our lives should be lived in appreciation to Christ, which means we should seek to do what's right. The Bible talks about pursuing righteousness, pursuing living right. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, was told by Paul in verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." Psalm chapter 11 and verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteous deeds, the upright shall behold His face." And then if we turn back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, kind of tie it all together. But the point being, the reason we talk about living right, the reason we talk about doing the right things, is because of what Christ has done for us. And that faith in Him should motivate us to live right. Not to add up our works. Not to create this great list of things that we've done to say, "Look how righteous I am." Because even at the best we can be, do we ever deserve for Jesus to take our place? But because we don't have to worry about Him taking our place, because He freely did so, a life of appreciation and a life of faith in Him kind of demands that we live in a way that shows that we know what He did for us and that we value that. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Our righteous acts, what we do, is not so that we can look good. It's not so that we can earn anything. Our righteous acts should be because we have faith, because we trust that God is going to save us and that God is going to do all that He promised. And if we trust Him, then why would we choose to live in opposition to what He is? See, it's not meritorious works. It's works of appreciation. It's works of understanding of what was paid for my debt. That's what righteousness is all about. Yeah, we need to do what's right. We need to live right. We need to live moral and upright lives. We need to live lives that are in accordance with Scripture, that lead others to Christ. Why? Because Christ can save them just like He's willing to save us. The question this morning is, are you headed toward heaven today? Unfortunately, there are those who would only take the first point of this lesson and focus on the fact that no one is righteous. That they've made too many mistakes. That they've lived a life that God wouldn't be proud of before now. And therefore, they give up on the idea that God will save them. That God can save them. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing we do, even if we are the best of all, nothing we do deserves a substitute for our punishment. Are you headed toward heaven today? You can be. Anybody can be. If they believe, if they have faith, and they trust in Christ, we can become the righteousness of God. Because the righteous shall live by faith. And we don't just live by faith here. If we have faith and we trust Him and we give ourselves to Him, we live forever with Him. And that's what the righteousness of God leads to. So are you headed toward heaven today? If not, will you think about what we've talked about today? Anybody can be right in the sight of God. Anybody can be right in the sight of God if they give themselves to Him. If you have not yet become a Christian, we want to encourage you to do so. It makes us whole. It takes all our sins and blots them out. There is no past. There is only moving forward with Christ. He washes away our sins. He makes us whole. Maybe here this morning and you've wandered away and you're worried about where you stand. Not one of us has to leave this building today worried or concerned about our standing with God. You can know. You can be right. If you give yourself to Him in faith and live to the best of our abilities in appreciation to Him from here to the day we're no longer here. Are you headed to heaven? If not, and you want the prayers of the church, or you need us in any way, won't you come? as we stand and sing.